Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
And we're welcoming to our program at this point in time someone who's going to tell us about the Jamaican experience, about accountability, and something called the Accountability Meter Portal, seeking for, striving towards better governance and holding those people who are responsible to greater account. Let's welcome to our program Executive Director of the Jamaica Accountability Meter Portal, that's Jeanette Calder. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Satish. Thank you so much for having me. I think it's my first with you, and I've been looking forward to it.
Yes, definitely. From the moment this topic came up, and it's interesting how this topic came up, we were trying to get some government ministers to come onto the show. Mm-hmm. And we got all kinds of excuses from them as to why they couldn't make it. And we started having the discussion about there needs to be a discussion about when people occupy specific offices, they must understand that accounting to the public is part of their duty and not about something they feel they could do whenever it suits their purpose. But before we get into those, because I'll tell you, that's a hotly debated topic here at home. Tell us a bit about yourself, some of the things you've been involved with, and tell us a bit more about this Accountability Meter Portal.
Okay. Thanks, Atish. I'm really an architect by training, and it's something I really like saying to folks, because when, you know, folks here back home see what I've been doing for the last 4 years or even before, they get a little bit convinced that, you know, I have some kind of advocacy school that I go to, or maybe did public administration and political science. But I think I'm an example of what a citizen can do when you simply make up your mind that you want to understand how parliament work, because, you know, every decision made there affects your life. You want to understand how government works, because, again, it doesn't matter what the private sector do. I think what happens in government is the most important job. So I wasn't trained to do anything of what it is I'm doing now, but I was in government for 6 years. I ran the government's joint venture housing program, which is really the government and the private developers coming together to produce, at the time, middle-income housing. And a lot of what I saw, Satish, you know, when you talk about housing, you're talking contracts. When you talk about contracts, you're talking corruption, right? So there was a lot that I saw during my 6 years in government that really left a heavy residue on me. And so by the time I finished, by the time I left and did some more education, focusing particularly on something even Trinidad should be getting or has probably been getting a lot involved in, which is public-private partnerships, how you bring together the two for infrastructure delivery. I went away, retooled, and came back to Jamaica, and our government was getting involved in some massive infrastructure projects. And I didn't like how the procurement was being handled. And since I had some idea of how it should work, I just started to share with the public my thoughts on it. And what do you know? The advocacy bug bit. And so I have been doing this since 2013. At the time, I was the co-executive director of a coalition of NGOs. But after spending about 5 years doing that, the basic idea of what you said a while ago, Satish, it dawned on me that our leaders have to pay attention. And there's one thing that Jeanette came to realize and appreciate, and you would think, how did it take me so long? Which is what catapulted me into this Accountability Meter Portal, and it's the simple thought that whether it's Trinidad, Barbados, Antigua, Jamaica, when we have every 4.5 years, at least in Jamaica, we automatically change out 63 public official posts. And that's in our parliament, that's the number. And it dawned on me that elections is really, you know, a job recruitment process. And that I am an employer hiring employees. And I tell you, Satish, the day that dawned on me is the day everything changed about what my expectations were of our political leaders. And so JAMP, and we'll talk about it some more, but in essence, JAMP is really citizens. It's powered by citizens from the simple belief that if I have employees, I must understand their job and I must hold them to account. But it's not so easy. We say that to citizens all the time. So JAMP came into being to take advantage of the smartphone in our hand. And another thing that Jamaica has, and I think Trinidad has, but not all Caribbean islands, is the access to information legislation that empowers us as citizens to get information from government. So between the smartphone and that legislation, what we've done is create 7 digital tools to help citizens know more about Parliament and what's happening, know more about government and what's happening, and give them the information they need to hold their employees, which are our political leaders, to account. So we'll talk a little bit more about those digital tools, but that's in essence what it is. Any citizen with a smartphone in their hand can not only get the data they want, but more importantly, also connect with the accountable officers in Parliament or in government to hold them to account, ask them questions, make demands of them, demand an update on things. And that's basically what we've been doing for the 3.5 years.
How effective has it been?
Well, that's difficult for me to assess, and it's not a cop-out. JAMP really was launched 6 months before COVID came into being. Mm. And so what that effectively did, I mean, we continue to build and develop the tools. So for your listeners, if you go to www.jampja.org, you will get an idea of what we've done. But, you know, Satish, you can, I think there was a movie that says, if you build it and they don't come, what's the point? Mm-hmm. So it was very difficult to, you know, engage what we wanted to do, schools in particular, and a lot of citizens, due to the COVID. So I don't think, unless a citizen listens to programs like yours, your colleagues here in Jamaica, it's hard for them to know that JAMP exists. So we're about to sign next week our second major contract with the European Union, who funds us. And that now will put us in a position to really get the word out. The only people who know about JAMP at this point in time are the politicians and the media. But it's our core thing this next 3.5 years. To get into the public domain, to get citizens to utilize it. So it's hard to assess at this point whether they will or they will not, because I don't think most know of it as yet.
Well, COVID-19 has definitely put a damper on the plans of so many organizations and companies and individuals. But the need for what JAMP is about, and for those, JAMP means Jamaica Accountability Media Portal. And the need for that, it's growing daily.
That's true. Yeah.
The political nuances across the region are by and large similar. You have administrations in most countries. You have a two-party state where you have one in office and then they remove. The next one goes into office and the supporters fight amongst themselves. And once my party in power, they could do no wrong and vice versa. But there seems to be infiltrating a desire for more information.
Absolutely.
And what you're seeing, well, here at home, what we see is social media has become the platform for citizens to voice their grouses and to ask their questions. While that is a good platform and is easily accessible and your message could be spread wide and far, it does not have any sort of method to hold people accountable and say, well, because these questions are being asked on this forum, you are duty bound to issue a response. And it's interesting we're talking about this today, because the headline in front of our newspaper here on the group, the Guardian newspaper, is the Attorney General, and the headline is Attorney Mum on Return of Missing File. He doesn't think that he needs to account to the nation or to tell the public anything about what has transpired with this whole big bacchanal we have here at home. And I can definitely see the value. Let's just say there is to be a Trini version of Jamaica Accountability Media Portal.
Yes.
Where do we begin?
I began with the thing that I hear. You know, you have to listen to people, you know. Advocates can't make the same mistake of not listening the way political leaders do. And here in Jamaica, what I heard being echoed every single time there was a concern about governance or a scandal was actually pointing the fingers back at us. Satish, I don't know if you have this saying in Trinidad, but when I was growing up, most of us in Jamaica do, our parents or teachers, granny would tell us, if you point at somebody to criticize them, there are 3 fingers pointing back at you. Because if you point with the index finger, you tend to fold the 3 last fingers towards you. And that's really what they're saying. Look back at yourself is a word of caution. So we have been belaboring our dissatisfaction, better in a matter where in the world, about political leaders. And it began to occur to me, And it always starts with someone, but if you don't have others to follow, nothing comes of it. It occurred to me that we were doing that for too long. Jam's philosophy, you know, is that we don't look so much at the political leaders. We are looking at the citizens of Jamaica, because politicians still listen to citizens and they're still watching. At the end of the day, we are voters, and the day we recognize that and start to harness it, change will come. But Jamaicans were saying to us, the biggest problem we have is what we call the 9-day wonder. And it is something they would do to criticize ourselves as citizens. Issue comes up, whatever it is with the Attorney General in Trinidad right now, Satish will talk about it, other morning shows will talk about it, citizens might write a letter, but Jamaicans say in 9 days, it's done. And they would say that is the reason why we get nowhere. And the term, the 9-day wonder, was often used as a pejorative term of citizens speaking to citizens. Well, I started at the point of saying, well, why don't we attack where the citizens say the greatest problem is? It is a 9-day wonder in Jamaica, but I do not think it's a fair criticism to say the fault is with the citizen for not taking it beyond 9 days, because Satish, you're in media. It's hard to take it beyond 9 days as a citizen if you do not know how, and the how is not obvious to a lot of citizens. Mm. In Jamaica, the governance issues turn over fast, and I think it's the same in Trinidad.
Oh, yeah.
So by the time we start 9 days, Satish, you're going to have something else to talk about. The news need to make a little money. They're not going to stick on the old story. So the minute it changes, the headline changes, we pivot to something else. So we started with say, okay, how do we get beyond the 9 day to make it matter? So if we say we're going digital, we created our first tool called the Accountometer. We just dubbed it that. Meter means we're measuring accountability in the most basic way. We have an amazing, amazing department in Jamaica here called the Auditor General's Department. I know you have it in Trinidad. I just don't know if they are as dedicated, as committed as the ones here, because they do an amazing job. So from time to time during the year, what we call scandals, they call reporting the breaches, contract, procurement, how money spent, whatever. We said, okay, why don't we look at the issues coming from the Auditor General's Department? Why don't we look at the annual report? And why don't we use our access to information legislation to track these issues? So we said, okay, let's put this to a test before we go start in the organization. So we started to write to the different permanent secretaries. I'm sure it's the same in Trinidad, the accounting officers for every ministry, to follow up on any matter that the Auditor General spoke about that we thought was egregious. So we wrote a simple letter. We said, can we have documentation to substantiate what steps you have taken to correct? And we quoted what the AG said. And to our surprise, Satish, we started to get response. Mm-hmm. We did it for 3 months and we found 44% of the permanent secretaries in that period answered our questions. So we said, oh my goodness, then people are answering. What if we digitize this? So in short, JAMP's first tool became us using a tool that your parliament has given your citizens, Jamaica's parliament has given us, and say you have a legal right to demand this information because it is owned by the public. Government is only holding that information on your behalf. So Satish, that's where we started. And so we started to put the updates we got on our Accountometer, and we put the social media buttons there. And so the citizens who didn't know about it would come share it in public. And what we found is things began to move. Once things get in the public domain and we can keep it beyond that 9 day, we discovered that we had permanent secretaries who were actually responding. Who knew that would happen, Satish? So it's an experiment. Mm. So that's where we started. What did the government tell us? And there's some power in the fact that everything on JAMP's website is what we get from the government. It's actually a bit of a protection, because when those citizens who defend any party that's in gets a little belligerent, as they will with activists and advocates, I just have to say, but this is what the government tell me. So we get the information from government and we simply follow up with the experiment of saying, what would happen if we did? And one of the things we discovered is that not only were the permanent secretaries responding, but some of the things that we wrote to find out whether or not they did anything, they actually did. So what that did was send a different kind of message to citizens, saying, well, you know, it's not so bad after all. And with that encouragement, we moved from an Accountometer to something. I look at the Trinidad Parliament and I see that you have something similar, but it's a parliamentary website. where we started to collect data, basic profile on each MP. Each member of parliament got a page, and we started to just track basic accountability issues around parliamentarians. So we started with attendance, and we discovered, what, there's a parliamentarian who for the last 3 years only come to parliament 37% of the time? That information the government has, Satish, but what JAMP is doing is bringing it out into the public domain in a way in which citizens can access it easier. How many citizens have time for to ask the parliament about their parliamentarian? Mm-hmm. Not many. Mm-hmm. So we bring the data that government collects, keeps it, you know, on some shelf under dust, and we bring it forward. Another example with the MP tracker is that each parliamentarian in several Commonwealth countries, including Jamaica, you can tell me if Trinidad does it, they are awarded 20 million Jamaican a year. Each MP, each constituency is awarded it. So the MP can basically assist with any emergencies. Well, we decided that we want a report from every MP on what you have done this year with the 20 million. Now, has it been easy to get? No, we've only gotten 6 out of 63. But citizens have seen what we're trying to do and have started to help us to pressure their own MP for the information. So that report is going to be on every parliamentarian's page. So that's just one other tracker that we've built, where we begin to track our employees, Satish, in the same way that the newspaper tracks your performance. We are developing an attitude and a culture in Jamaica where we say to citizens, is your employee. You need to know what they're doing, when and where, and if they're performing. The last two that we've done, and this is one I think citizens in Trinidad could and should begin with, is what we call a sectoral governance tracker. Everybody listening to me has a job where maybe at the end of every year, your boss call you in, take a look at what your plan was and whether or not, you know, do an evaluation of you to see how you're doing. There's no reason, Satish, why we shouldn't be doing that with our parliament and our government. So we said, okay, last March, last financial year, the Jamaican people had to find $912 billion out of their own pockets to fund this machine we call government. So what has happened to that? So in Trinidad and in Jamaica, at the end of your budget debate with your minister of finance, your prime minister, the shadow people, I'm pretty sure you have what is called a sectoral presentation where all of your political cabinet members get up and boast about what they have done last year and what they're going to do this year. So we said, well, let's start with that. Let's get every presentation and let's call what those promises were and let's find out what happened. So we called 108 promises, Satish, that every minister made in the parliament to use our money to do something for us. And we presented at the end of last year to the Jamaican people in a two-page spread in our Gleaner what the results were. And we asked citizens, how do you think they did? Well, the government never achieved any more than 34 of 108. But Satish, what we have there is something measurable for each sector that we can discuss and say, well, all right, each industry, you have to go do something because this is not performance. You get what I'm saying?
I do, actually. I really do.
Those are real examples of accountability that Trinidad can do, because this is information put in the public domain. Those speeches that they deliver can be gotten from your parliament. Just call them and find out what has been done.
Yeah.
So those are just some examples of the tools that we're creating. But the last two, I heard you talking about contracts when I was coming on a while ago, Satish, and I was listening, but I didn't get much of it. But Jamaica, for instance, again, we're going back to what does your government have information that you can use as a citizen? So I have been terribly impressed with, for the last 16 years, we have a database of all contracts over 500,000 Jamaican. That's 179 contracts, Satish, sit down in an Excel sheet. So I said, but that's amazing. That's good stuff. But nobody knows about this. So we took that, we hired a consultant, and we created a digital tracker, very easy data visualization tool from a company, by the way, in Trinidad, which we hired. And they're called Incos. And they created a digital tracker for our contracts for the last 16 years. So guess what happened now, Satish? Let me give you a real example. Over the Christmas, I'm abroad. And somebody gets in touch with me and says, look at what the government did to Devon House. This is one of these old plantation houses that we go to buy ice cream and have picnics on the grass. And they paved over an entire massive section with hard concrete. And Jamaica was up in an uproar. And a member of the media called me and said, Jeanette, I went to the procurement tracker And do you know that the person who got the contract to pave that thing that people are upset about started in 2017 and have gotten an unusual amount of contracts from the government since? Why is that important? Because this government came in around 2016, and you know, Satish, that's when things start to shift in terms of procurement, right? So here's a member of the media calling to say, we went to your tracker and this is what we found. Now, does it mean that there's something wrong? No. But it gave the media information that they could start to go on, ask questions of our government. So this is citizens creating something that media can use. And to be very honest with you, even the government themselves. So that's another tracker. And our very last one is one that's very dear to my heart. I don't see the national budget as a national budget. I call it the family budget, Satish. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It is one family here in Jamaica. The money coming out of our pockets, we have to give up something to put it into the government machinery. And I believe that this is the thing that triggered me to deepen my work in advocacy for public funds. I learned to understand how to read the budget. It's a 1,000-page document that's very frightening to look at in paper. But I realized that it's only really 3 pages I need to learn, you know, because everything after that is repetitive about another agency or another ministry. But try as I might, I could not convince citizens that it was not as hard as it seemed, and it was more fascinating than just a book of numbers. I tell everybody it is a promise book. It is a policy book. It's not just a numbers book. Something is in there for you. Find out what it is and insist that you get it. So we decided, well, since it's so hard to convince citizens to pick up this 1,000-page book, why don't we ask that same company in Trinidad, Incos, to create an easy digital budget that citizens see a contract in the newspaper, tomorrow can check the budget, Satish, and say, did the parliament approve this? Isn't that amazing? So we tested it, we put it up, and we have been tracking it. Every time we see a contract in the newspaper, the media doing its work for the citizens, we can pull up the digital family budget and check and see, was it approved by parliament? If it was not, it's for you to decide now as a citizen, do you want to go to social media and ask your minister about this or not? So those are just some of the trackers that we think can be game changers here. My job now, Satish, is to convince citizens to use it. Mm-hmm. But that's just an idea of what we're doing.
Well, I mean, what you've outlined to us is a platform that if, well, not if, it's already up and running, if it gains the kind of traction that one would expect it to gain and the public engagement. Because here at home, I mean, we open the phone lines, people complain about all kinds of things. They're asking all kinds of questions, and and some of the state agencies, are they forever never seem to be doing their job or doing things that inconvenience or citizens think are not necessarily the way things could go. In other parts of the world, Middle East and France and Germany and some of these other countries, of public engagement, the likes of which I don't know if we see at all in the Caribbean. So what it requires, it requires a perspective change from the citizenry, in that people need to accept what you've been saying, that we employ the government and that they should be accountable. But it doesn't seem that way. And
no, it's not. But, you know, is it easy though, Satish? That's the thing. What we're trying to do is to make it easy. Those people who are calling, Satish, and complaining, you know, are really interested, vested citizens. You know, I bet my bottom dollar, if you gave them the tools, all I knew before at JAMP was to write the newspaper, call the talk show. Those are the tools the citizens have. What JAMP is saying, can we give them more to make it easier? Are Trinidadians interested in governance? Yes. But it's not so easy without the tools. Think about you, Satish. Your tools are right there. You have your mic, you have your producer, you have the station, you get a job description, you get the resources to make it happen. Citizens are employers, but they don't even have a job description for the people they're employing, and they don't have the tools to do their job. So I am saying, it's not the Trinidadians' fault. It's not really Jamaicans' fault. You see the people you talk about overseas? In the United States of America, every kid knows the Bill of Amendments, the Bill of Rights, rather. There's a culture there to teach them about civics, let them understand how them parliament and government work very early. I was taught civics in Jamaica. That come out of high school for about 10 years now, Satish. So if citizens don't understand how something works, they don't engage it. The more they understand how government and parliament works, is the more confidence they will have to engage it. So me say, educate, provide the tools and watch how these citizens in Trinidad and Jamaica start to behave just like those overseas. That's what I think. That's my theory.
Let's open the phone lines. 627-3223-625-2257. Remember, we are speaking this morning about accountability, the Jamaica Accountability Meter Portal, the model. With us, of course, we do have Jeanette Caller, Executive Director of the Jamaica Accountability Meter Portal. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish.
Good morning to you.
And good morning to Miss Jeanette.
Morning.
Yes, I under the Integrity Commission Act, I think it's 56.1. There's something to do there in Jamaica. You can expand on that and let us know in terms of what it is you all are facing with regards to that. And my second question, in terms of, well, we have something called procurement legislation that we're supposed to implement that gives our bodies the necessary tool and oversee the civil society to have a watch in terms of how things are done. In Jamaica, there is something called FinSAC. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes. So in Jamaica, there's something called FinSAC. The question I want to ask you is how regular in terms of this is updated? Is it done annually?
Is what updated? Sorry.
FinSAC, in terms of the government publishing the information and have it easily available to the citizens here in Jamaica.
Well, let me just quickly say, my knowledge of FinSAC is very small. FinSAC is related to the 1990s financial crash in Jamaica of a number of banks. And with the crashing of the banks, the assets and the loans base of a lot of businesses and a lot of private owners. I haven't kept up to date with what FinSAC is doing, but FinSAC got converted into something called REFIN. But that is really limited to how do we deal with the assets of people who defaulted on their loans, and not so much to do with public funds per se, which is what JAMP focuses on. That crisis was a banking financial crisis that, of course, upset the entire economy. And it was the whole question of Jamaica finding, I think, must be $300 billion of public funds to bail it out. But that's a 1990s issue that I can't say that I have kept up with at all. We're all focuses on more public financial accountability starting from 2014. We looked 5 years back from the time we started, and we've been looking at issues in public finances since then, but not so much the FinSAC matter, to be honest with you. Regarding the Integrity Commission, yes. The Integrity Commission is a piece of legislation. I think it's the first of its kind in the Caribbean, certainly the English-speaking Caribbean, where Jamaica merged three anti-corruption bodies, patterning it off the Sierra Leone model. What is really good is not so much the merger to me, but the fact that the parliamentarians or legislators gave this commission what we call prosecutorial power. So in just to cut to the chase, we have so many murders and crimes in Jamaica, as you all know. Our DPP is swamped with those issues. So a number of white-collar crimes relating to corruption really just wasn't getting to her attention. So the government did a wonderful thing and said, let us give this commission one more piece of power, which is a director of corruption prosecution, that when the director of investigator in that body is finished with an investigation, that report is turned over internally to another director who now has the power of our DPP delegated to her to decide whether or not this investigation should be prosecuted. That was significant. This law was from 2016. Unfortunately, we have not yet seen any report that suggests that they're utilizing this power that they have. But in essence, it was a way of strengthening the anti-corruption bodies in Jamaica to put them under one roof and to strengthen their powers to fight corruption. Yeah.
Let's take another call because we may be out of time just now. Oh, good morning.
Good morning, Satish and Joe. I'm not the guest here. Now, I subscribe to the view of the government acts on our behalf and under authority. So automatically, they are accountable. Will you comment on that, please?
Satish, did you hear the question? I missed it.
Okay. Port of Spain?
Yes.
Could you repeat the question, please?
I believe the government acts on our behalf and under our authority. So accountability becomes automatic. Would you care to comment on that?
It should be automatic. Our Prime Minister promised us a job description for cabinet from 2015 when he won. it's very difficult to hold somebody to account when you don't know what they're supposed to do for you. But I agree, it's automatic in theory, but it has not been automatic in practice for the reasons I shared before. Every employer has a job description to evaluate their employees. We don't. And every employer has tools to do it. The citizens don't have it so easy. So automatic in theory, I don't think automatic in practice, which is why citizens are creating a way of making it easier for citizens to do that.
Yeah. I know that we're almost out of time. And this is probably a discussion we're going to have again in the future in another installment of this discussion, because we've only just scratched the surface. But as we wrap up a bit, I know there'd be some obvious benefits to engaging in action like these. What are some of the benefits for persons who are listening into the conversation and asking, it's all real nice, but what can we really achieve if we do this thing? What would you say to them?
Well, when I was in government and even outside, our political leaders here, and I don't doubt it's the same in Trinidad, are put on a pedestal. And I think what we need is a culture change, that we recognize that when we look up the word minister and when we look up the word public servant, it means persons who attend to the needs of others. So I think what we need, what I think, Satish, is that the culture change, the mindset change has to begin with us. We need to stop putting them on a pedestal. And the minute we stop doing that and see them as the employees that they are, I believe that the change will begin within the body politic of the citizens. And the politicians will see the shift in the citizenry. And eventually, I believe the change will happen there. So I think it's a mindset change that we have that begins with, you are not a god, you serve me. And the minute we get that into our craw, our behavior will change. We will start to respond to them differently, and then they will start to respond to us. So I will really say that's where the change needs to begin, how we see them and how we see our position.
I some time ago, I had the opportunity to visit Jamaica, and I had spoken to a businessman who was there. He's in charge of an organization that has regional scope. And we were talking about several things, and one of the things he said to me is that when he comes to Trinidad, And he speaks to people in their training seminars or whatever kind of meetings they have.
Yeah,
he says that one of the things he has noticed is that people are very reluctant to speak their mind. So he tried to find out why. Why is it that people are so reluctant? And he came to the conclusion that people are fearful of victimization.
Yeah,
and that's a big issue for us here at home. I don't want to say that there are some who they want to mash the corn because they're afraid they ain't gonna get to eat as much, but that's a big part of it. I don't know if the situation has been the same in Jamaica.
I think it's changing. I mean, when we look at the facts, and I say measurable things, not just what Jeanette thinks. For example, our Auditor General not a doubling, not a tripling, but a 500% increase in whistleblowing. These are public servants who know what's happening and find a way to let her know. I think technology allows citizens to share information with media and with responsible, anti-corruption bodies in government without you necessarily saying who you are. Our government is currently looking at what we call our whistleblower legislation and strengthening it. But I don't know that we need it, Satish. There are ways on me. I tell people, go into an internet cafe, open up an account in an email account that don't need a number, send your information, walk out of that internet cafe. Information sent, whatever you scan in the office that you think the Auditor General needs to know, the police need to know, there are ways and means. So I'm just saying, find it. Yes, government, public servants are more vulnerable maybe than we are, but find a way. I just think that anybody, wherever you are, can do something. I don't think you have to worry about victimization. Find a way to get the information to those who will do something with it. That's my take on it. There's no reason for it to be known who you are in this day and age. Find a way to share it.
I agree with you 100%. There are ways, means, mechanisms that you can utilize. But still, there are people who are so reluctant because they're scared. We've had instances, we've seen how, officials can take a tool if they choose to blacklist people and everything else. And coming out of COVID-19, plenty of people are very, very skeptical about how they approach this. But this has been a most interesting discussion. And having an accountability meter portal or something akin to that here at home in Trinidad and Tobago is definitely a direction we need to head into. Public officials, be they government, state sector, board appointees, whatever, have for far too long operated with impunity in many instances. And I think it's about time that we turn the tide on them, not necessarily because it's a me versus them thing, but there needs to be that accountability. Thank you so much for being with us here this morning, Jeanette Colan.
A real pleasure, Satish. I enjoyed it.
I am sure that we'll speak again moving forward.
Thank you once again.
Take
good care. Bye-bye.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.